Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me once again today. Last week, we started looking at the first two verses of Psalm 23, but I only got as far as "the Lord is my shepherd." That's it. That's as far as we got last week. If you missed that, just go back one episode to number 297. You might want to listen to that one before continuing on with me here today. It's not totally necessary. It's not like you'll miss out on today, but you just might want to go back and listen to that one first. So let's keep going. Let's dig back in. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Other translations say, I have what I need, or I lack nothing. I will never be in need, or He cares for me always. The Lord is my shepherd. He cares for me always. That sounds like a good shepherd, right? He has everything we need. Now, when we hear that or some of these other translations that I just read, we might say, well, what I need is I need my child back. But we know that isn't going to happen. So let's stop and think about this. Within our grief and the suffocating darkness, maybe the confusion, the anger, and the blame, what is it that we need? A couple of weeks ago, my friend Kim Avery, who's been on the podcast as a guest, shared about what she called gritty grace on her podcast. And it seemed to fit so well here today that much of what I will be sharing came from her and that podcast episode of hers. Now, one thing that we need, and I think one of the biggest things we need, is grace. Grace goes beyond just unmerited, undeserved favor. It's also divine empowerment to do what we need to do. It's divine enablement to get through what we need to get through. We need grace. And we need to go from questioning God and pleading with Him and blaming God to asking Him to be with us, asking Him for that divine enablement and empowerment to get out of this darkness. We need to get to the point that when we say the name of Jesus, it is with a felt sense of companionship, His presence, His peace, coming from a place of trust and even appreciation for the fact that He came down, He became one of us. I can't imagine leaving that place where our children are now in absolute perfection, glory, beauty that's beyond what we could ever comprehend here. To choose to leave that, to come to be human, to be one of us, to live in this world with all of its failures, all of its problems, its joys also, but to be surrounded by sickness and death and betrayal, to experience what we experience as a human being, and then to choose to experience physical pain the way He did, the way He was beaten and tortured in one of the worst ways you could die. I mean, the Romans perfected their torture and the way they would kill what they considered criminals. And he chose to do that so that He could bless us with life beyond this earth, so that we could go to heaven and experience His life there. He came here to experience our life with us so that we could experience His life there with Him. That is something to appreciate. The fact that we may be separated for a while, but God made a way through Jesus. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I was just reading in Hebrews, I think it was Hebrews the other day, where it said He is the exact representation of God. It's not that God is bad and Jesus is good and He stands between us. Jesus came to show us who the Father is. He is love. and he made a way for us to be with our children again together forever in a place that is so much better than here. That is something to appreciate. So, like I was saying, getting to the point that when we say the name of Jesus, it is with such wonder and awe and amazement, beloved, beautiful Jesus, instead of aching for an answer, which is, it's okay. That's we start out there. We want answers. But instead of saying, Jesus, you need to tell me what's going on here. Jesus, why did you do this? Well, it's kind of interesting because when I think about it, it's like, God, why did you do this? But then it's like, Jesus. And I, for some reason, it's like we blame God, but we get our comfort in Jesus. But they are one and the same. To be struck and in awe of God's beauty, of his personal attention at being with us in our place of pain and darkness. Another thing, just as I'm recording this, thinking about how he sends the Holy Spirit. He sends his very Spirit to live inside us, to be our comfort, to be our peace, to be the things that we need. God himself comes and lives in us with his Spirit, through his Spirit. That's crazy, something to appreciate. It's really, when you really think about that, it's beyond what we can think about, right? The thing is, if his Spirit is in us, then we have that grace that we need. We have what we need, even when we don't feel it. God's grace is with us. God's grace is in us because he is in us as we navigate our way through the darkness. He's not leaving us there alone. We may feel alone, but we're not. And his grace is shaping us and forming us into something absolutely astounding that we can't see it. We can't comprehend it at the beginning of our grief. Even maybe those first few months or even first few years, it's hard for us to comprehend that God is giving us what we need in the way of grace that is not just going to pull us through the darkness and get us out eventually, but he's doing something in us within the process of that. Now, that does not mean that he had a plan that our child was going to die just so he could do a work in us. No, he knew this was going to happen. He knows death is happening all around us. This world is full of sin and disease and sickness as the result of the enemy. And he knows what's going to happen. He knows the days that every one of us have here on earth that are numbered. And so he also knows when that happens, I am going to come in with my grace within the darkness, and I'm going to shape them, and I'm going to use this for their benefit in a way that they cannot see in the darkness. They can't comprehend in the darkness. I mean, that's who God is, right? He's so big, we cannot comprehend him. That's part of that goes good and bad, right? We can't comprehend why God would allow something like this to happen. And we also cannot comprehend how God could possibly use any of this for anything good in my life. But that, my friend, is part of grace and part of the grace that we need. The Lord is my shepherd. He has everything I need. I didn't plan on saying any of that, so somebody needs that. Somebody needs to know what everything that I just said. His grace is not just giving us the grace to make it through, but like I said, it's at work in us for when we come out of our place of darkness, when we have nothing to give to God, to ourselves, or even our family. He has everything to give us. He not only gives us the strength to endure, but he starts changing what we want. And I know that may sound strange because will I ever stop wanting Becca here with me? No, I won't. But it's not something that consumes me. It's not something that I kind of live by. I want her here. It's more in the background. God isn't just helping us survive. He's shifting our desires and giving us the power to do what we could never do on our own. And when I say he's shifting our desires, like I said, I don't mean that we stop loving or missing our child, but he changes what we think we need, which shifts us into the place of peace that we so desperately need. I remember crying one day, laying face down on the carpet, telling God I just wanted to stop hurting so bad. And what we could never do on our own is to have enough healing in our lives that we not only get past just surviving, but we actually start having happiness and joy in our lives again. We have light and meaning and purpose again in our lives. And I know for some of you, you think that is absolutely impossible without your child here. But nothing is impossible when it comes to God. Do you agree that it would take a miracle for your life to get to that place? Well, guess what? God is in the miracle working business. But you have to get to the point where this is my desire, God. Give me a desire. Help me want to get past this. Help me to understand that it doesn't mean I'm like moving on without my child. But God, help me to want what you have for my life still. I know we wanted the miracle for our child, but they have experienced their own miracle. The miracle of being with God face to face. The miracle of experiencing his beauty, his glory. Another miracle that we will get to experience as well someday. And to me, that circles us back to, I'd rather have my child here with me, doesn't it? Which also circles back to the fact that God has what we need. His grace to carry us when we cannot take a single tiny step forward. When my daughter Becca was young, as most of you know, she lived through having bone cancer at only 3 years old, going through 9 months of chemotherapy and having her little left leg amputated. Now, another little girl up there had the same cancer, also had her leg amputated, but she did not survive through the treatments. In fact, over 10 of the children receiving treatments for various cancers while Becca was up there did not make it. Now, while our hearts obviously hurt for those other families, we rejoiced for our miracle. There were several times as Becca grew up that something happened that could have or should have ended her life, but God kept sparing her. And then as her heart condition worsened, which her heart condition was damaged from the chemo that she had when she was young, God kept her alive in different medical ways for well over 5 years. And when Becca got to the point of needing a heart transplant, I was sure that he was either going to do a miraculous healing of her heart or that she would get the transplant she needed and her heart would be healed. Neither of those things happened. Why? Why would God save her over and over again, only to have her leave this earth at age 29, leaving a daughter behind who had just turned 9 years old? The strong man of God that we know as Paul in the New Testament had similar up and down experiences. Now, he had a miraculous conversion coming to Christ. He had an earthquake break off prison shackles and open the prison doors as he and his friend Silas were praising God while they were locked up in this smelly, dirty jail cell. Another time, he had an angel take off his shackles and lead him out of the jail as none of the guards saw it happening. But then there are the other times, like he was being transported as a prisoner and they had a shipwreck. Bad, right? They ended up on an island. As Paul was putting wood on the fire, a poisonous snake climbed out of the wood and bit him on the hand. And he just shook the snake off into the fire and had no symptoms from the bite. These are all great stories of deliverance. That is God's glorious grace making the impossible happen. But then There were also the multiple times he was stoned and left for dead, robbed, had no food, left in the cold, freezing, left out in peril in the desert, heat, shipwrecked again and again, left out to sea. Why? Why would God deliver Paul only sometimes from these hardships? Well, this is what Kim calls gritty grace, when we only have enough to barely endure what life hits us with. Now, we don't know for sure what it was, but we do know there was something that was causing a lot of suffering for Paul. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that Paul asked God three times to take this thing away from him, and all three times God said no. But he also told Paul that his grace was sufficient, or it was just enough strength to get him through whatever it was, and that God's power was being made perfect in Paul's weakness. God does this for us as well. God makes sure that when we turn to Him, we are not crushed totally and completely by the pain and suffocating darkness. It may feel like you are, but He is giving you just enough strength right now. And I don't know why it's just enough, but it is, to just get through the next minute or the next breath. Now, that still doesn't answer the question of why God does this. Why does He do the miraculous with His glorious deliverance grace sometimes and not others? Why didn't He do it this time for me and my child? Well, the rest of that scripture helps to explain some of this. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Now, this isn't some narcissistic head trip God is on. I just want to show off my power. A better translation of that word in today's language from the original is to bring something to completion, to have a full work, to bring something to full measure, a place of maturity, or taking it to its intended end. And God's power is most fully displayed through our weakness. And we can get to a point where we're okay with that. Lord, when I am so weak, You are strong, and I get to experience that strength. I get to experience how strong You really are to be able to get me through something like this. His power at work in us is shaping us into something absolutely beautiful, so much more than we can imagine. As we lean on and depend on Him to help us through this, we become someone who we never thought or imagined that we could be. God is at work in us, changing our focus to what we think we need to what we really need, which is Him. Our children have a full understanding of that now. And I don't know about you, but I feel closer to Becca when I know that I am experiencing a little bit of what she is experiencing. This isn't a consolation prize. It isn't second best for those of us who didn't get the miracle for our child that we wanted. It is God's deepest, most personal, and intimate work that we get to be part of. He is making us whole. The pieces brought back together. If you've heard me talk about this kintsugi pottery, broken but beautiful, He's making us whole within the beauty of being shattered with a strength we would not have any other way. This is God's grace. And why David could say in Psalm 23 that God has and He is everything we need. We really don't know the power of God's grace until we experience it in a way like this. Now, God doesn't have a problem with us wrestling with Him and asking Him these hard questions. His grace is there for us through all of that. Even when nothing seems to change and the pain is just as deep, He has and He is everything we need, with enough grace and enough strength to make it through the next hour, the next minute, and the next breath. And right now, You may not even want that kind of grace. You don't want to make it through the next breath, much less the next day, the week, month, or year, or years. That would give me panic attacks when I thought about that at the beginning. I remember feeling that way, just begging God to end my life so I wouldn't have to stay in so much pain or continuing here without my daughter here with me. I just wanted to go and be with her. And let me say that if you keep reaching out, even as you continue in the pain and confusion, at some point, the darkness won't be quite so dark and the pain won't be quite so bad. You will begin to get glimpses of His beauty and there will be moments of relief. You will begin to breathe out the pain and breathe in His peace. And as you keep going, you will start to see and to know that you have people and reasons to keep living. It can take quite a while, but you can, and I believe you will, get to the point where you're okay with whether or not you're here a bit longer. The Lord truly is your shepherd, and He has everything you need to get through this. Keep leaning into Him until you see the truth of it for yourself. I am very excited to announce that we have another GPS Hope Retreat set finally. It will be in October 3rd through the 5th, in the state of New York. Come and be ministered to in every area, body, soul, and spirit. You will also gain clarity on how to move forward in a way that honors the life of your child. You'll walk away with lifelong friendships of others who understand the issue of the death of one's child. You'll get to share your child with others who want to hear about him or her. You'll get to spend time with Dave and myself, getting to know us on a personal level. As always, there is a limit of how many can attend. We have room for both couples and moms that join us. So to find out more, including seeing pictures of the venue and find out what our retreats are like and to see the prices, go to gpshope.org/retreat. Just go to our website, go to the events tab, look for retreats. I'll also put a link to that directly in the show notes. If June is a rough month for you coming up, I also want to remind you about the monthly Reflections of Hope books. Now, there is an original Reflections of Hope book that is a hardcover book with something to read for encouragement every day of the year. Now, you don't have to read it every day. It's not like one of those devotionals, but it's a tool where you can just pick it up and read that day's entry when you need something to help you keep going. Now, we split the big book, the full year, into smaller monthly books. So if you just need something extra during a specific month or months, you can get just the ones you need. Go to gpshope.org/reflections to find out more about these books. Grab a June book. It'll show you where to do that and, you know, where you can place your order, whether you want a couple of monthly books or maybe you want to get the entire year. Let's go ahead with this week's birthdays. Jesse Wilfong was born on May 26th and left us at age 20. Jesse Castile was born on May 26th and left us at age 21. Andrew LaPlante was born on May 27th and left us at age 24. Nathan Jeremiah Lee was born on May 28th and left us at age 20. Kyle Enanoria was born on May 30th and left us at age 11. Marky Schweitzer was born on May 30th and left us at age 29. We celebrate the day these children came into the lives of these families and into the world. It will always be a day worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced on the podcast and shared with the other listeners, I would love to be able to do that for you. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out that form and please include the pronunciation of your child's name if sometimes it gets mispronounced. I haven't heard of every name in the world. So it really, really helps me. I don't have to try to look it up and find how to pronounce a name if you share it there with me. It's very, very helpful for me. I want to say your child's name correctly. So go there, gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out that form, submit it, and I will share your child's birthday with the other listeners the week of his or her birthday. And Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen that week. In Psalm 73, verse 26, David writes, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Someday, if you can't now, you will be able to look back and see that grace was there for you in the worst days of this. He has been the strength of your heart. He is everything you need, and He is being that for you right now. But until you can see that, know that you are not alone. God is there, and so are we here at GPS Hope. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.